instead of me. Bow your heads, please. Say, Father, I thank you that you will open my eyes and my ears to hear what your Holy Spirit did through St. Paul, through the Romans that were just like me. Amen? If you remember, he gave us in Romans chapter 1, people who are involved in idolatry, and there was a very clear message. We are actually standing against idols right now. Okay? That's what we're doing. There are idols in our lives that we don't see because we're so accustomed to them that we think they're part of the family, and they are from the darkness, not from the light. So I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 2 because that's where he pressed me to go. I'm also going to use a little bit of the Amplified because it is so deep in Revelation. Verse 1. Therefore you have no excuse or defense or justification, O man, whoever you are, to judge and condemn another. Does that include a tenant? For imposing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censure and denounce. So God is really pushing our buttons to make us understand what pushes us into judgment. Verse 2. But we know that the judgment and the adverse verdict or sentence of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things. And do you think or imagine, O man, when you judge and condemn those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape God's judgment and elude his sentence and adverse verdict? Or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long enduring patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to change your mind? It says to repent or to change your mind, an inner man, to accept God's will. Now, the intention of the Lord to change how I think has to come when there's usually a crisis in my life. Amen. Otherwise, I stay in the same old pattern and I won't change. And God allows hardships to come our way in order to get us to think how he thinks. Verse 5. But by your callous stubbornness and impenitence of heart, you are storing up wrath and indignation for yourself on the day of wrath and indignation, when God's righteous judgment or just doom will be revealed. For he will render to every man according to his works, just as his deeds deserve. To those who by patient persistence in well-doing, springing from piety, seek for unseen but sure glory and honor and the eternal blessedness of immortality. He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and self-willed and disobedient to the truth, but recognize to wickedness, there will be indignation and wrath. And there will be tribulations and anguish and calamity and constraint for every soul of man who habitually does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and heart peace shall be awarded to everyone who habitually does good, first to the Jew and to the Greek. For God shows no partiality, no undue favor or unfairness with him One man is not different from another. All who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged and condemned by the law. For it is not merely hearing the law that makes one righteous before God, but it is the doer of the law who will be held guiltless and acquitted and justified. And I could keep on going. But what I believe God is trying to say to us, each and every one, is we need to see ourselves from God's perspective. Pete did not know about this message this morning, but his message was the same. We need to see ourselves from God's perspective by faith. Why is the hardship so difficult when we see somebody getting away with murder? Yes? When we see injustice, what happens to us? We get angry. Amen? We all do it. And I'm not putting any blame on any person. That's not where I'm at. I am saying that I had to learn to say, okay, God, what am I to learn from this experience? What is it that you're causing in me to be changed that I need to see? Because I am blind right now. How many know that blindness is something you need to admit to? Okay? Those blind spots that I have cannot be removed until I make a decision to get a new mindset. And his mindset is consistent in patience, consistent in well-doing, and looking to see what God wants me to pray for the person who's offended me. Now, how many of you have had a few offenses? Thank you. Every hand goes up. Some of them two hands. When you and I are offended, the first thing we have in our minds is, how do we blame? How quickly do we blame? How quickly do we hold them to account? That's the law. Now, the law of love, if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, says, will hardly notice when they do it wrong. There's a gentleman who died February 14th a year ago, named Bob Jones. He had an aneurysm and he died. I'm not sure what year it was, but it's, I think, in the 80s. And when he got before the Lord, he was a great believer. The Lord says, you haven't learned how to love yet. So you need to go back. Now, he witnessed to a friend of mine, learning how to love the unlovely is not easy. Nope. Learning how to love your abuser is going to cost you your mind. So what is he after? He's trying to get you and me out of our minds and into his mentality. We can confess, I have the mind of Christ by faith, yes? But most of the time we're using ours. And I'm not trying to be critical. I am saying, however, you need the grace of our Father to see yourself. You need the grace and the favor of God to see something good in those who are abusing you. Ooh, that one hurt. Close your eyes right now. Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, those who have taken advantage of me, Lord.
Those who have taken advantage of me.
I can purpose in my heart today,
to set them free.
Because that's what you did from the cross.
They put nails in your
hands and feet. And you purposed in your heart
to set them free.
And you asked our Father
not to hold any sin against them.
Lord, there's some that I want to fix.
And my emotions would match.
And the way I think
would declare they deserve to be corrected.
Some of them need a good whipping.
But you chose to forgive.
Can I? Can I change?
Can I change
my mind?
My mind.
And my emotions?
And my emotions.
To match the
to match the crucified Christ. To match the crucified Christ.
Saint Paul was in prison. Left for dead. Saint
John
was put on an island.
Called Patmos.
It means dying to self. It means to die.
To the way I think.
And to pray for the prisoners that he was surrounded with. They were all guilty except for him. And God puts him there to write the last book of the Bible.
Which is the revelation
of Jesus Christ.
It's not the Antichrist.
I can see the Antichrist working in me.
When I take out my whip.
And I want to fix their wagons.
Thank God there's no wagon around.
I'm going to use
what you've provided.
A skateboard.
A skateboard.
And when I'm on a skateboard.
And going down and up.
I'll be able to do flips in the heavenlies.
That's what the competition is all about.
How high can I fly?
Even when I'm in the earth.
How high can I fly?
Through my emotions.
Guided by the Holy Ghost.
Not guided by justice.
I am going to live.
In.
What am I going to live in? A judgment-free zone.
And it's going to be hard.
But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I will live.
And I will to live.
In a judgment-free zone.
Well, amen.
How many can relate as we prayed that prayer that there was a stirring inside your belly? Put your hand up. Way up. Look around now. Look around. Why would there be such a struggle on the inside? Because we're accustomed to teaching somebody how to live. And it's not our job. It's not our job. I was driving in this morning, and the Lord gave me a snap vision. Because when I was at Grace Church, we had a person that I learned was doing some bad activity, and even guiding young, unsuspecting believers into a wrong type of relationship. So obviously I got this information and I said, oh my God, now I'm all upset because I don't want anybody to be taken advantage of. I want to protect. I want to be the chief of police, if you wish. So I went to see Gino and I said to him, we've got a person who is taking advantage of some young people who are unsuspecting of this person's motives, and they are not righteous. How many know, remember Pastor Gino? Okay. He's sitting in his chair in his office, and I'm sitting on a side chair next to his desk. And he says, yeah, he says, I agree that there is something happening, he says, but I don't know exactly which way to go right now. He says, do you? I said, well, I think this person needs some help. Well, he says, have you offered help? I said, no. And the situation that I had heard of was something to do with sexuality. And I don't want to go into details. I want to leave it wide open. So now Pastor's sitting on his chair and he's going like this. And he's tapping his stomach. Now he had about maybe 25 pounds extra that he needed. And he's tapping very lightly on his tummy, won't stop. And he says, Kim, do you see my problem? He said, my sin is acceptable in the church. And I can go anywhere and to any church, and I am accepted and loved. But my sin is of the same nature. And I stopped. Because I knew he was talking about lust. He said, is it lust for food that's accepted in church? Or lust for other things that is worse, one or the other? And I cried on the way home. I said, God, I don't know how to pray this for this person, but I'm going to intercede in the Spirit for that person because they're stuck. They're stuck in lust. And now I'm learning that I have stuck areas. And it could be in different forms of lust. But it's the same demonic spirit that wants to destroy this church. So a few days later, by a Holy Ghost appointment, I ran right into this individual. And I opened the door and I said, if you should need a little bit of help, I'll be glad to sit down with you. And I'll gave him a card, which had the name Prayer and Counseling Center and the phone number, and let me know. So for the next couple of weeks, every service, this person is there, and the Holy Spirit is pressuring me to intercede for that person. And I would pray, not with my brain, because my brain would get stuck.
Amen.
Your brain will have some bad spaces in those areas because you're afraid that somebody else is going to get damaged. Within 2 weeks of intercession, not just by me now, so I'm not claiming that I was the Holy One that did all this good stuff. And I did not share this with anyone but Pastor Gino. We got a notice from this individual. I'm going to be leaving Grace Church. I'm leaving and I'm moving to Florida. And I'm divorcing. Did you hear me? Who took care of the problem? Was I expecting a divorce to come from that prayer? Never. This person made a decision to continue in what they wanted to do in a way that I don't know the answers to, but I do know this. The same Holy Ghost that's working on my weaknesses is working on their weakness. I learned a thing today. We're related. And we need to live in a judgment. Zone. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Holy Spirit, help me.
Counsel me.
Counsel me.
Comfort me.
Comfort me.
I need your comfort, Lord.
I need your comfort, Lord.
I am going forward.
I'm going forward.
Trusting your Holy Spirit.
Trusting your Holy Spirit.
To teach me how to love.
To teach me how to love.
In those that are stuck.
In those that are stuck.
In some form of lust,
some form of lust
or
deception,
and heal their hearts,
and heal their hearts
as your healing mind.
As your healing mind.
Bring them to salvation.
Bring them to salvation.
Bring them to victory.
Bring them to victory
on the day appointed.
On the day appointed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Now may the Holy One of Israel continue to counsel you and comfort you, because his best is at stake. He wants every single person in the earth to come to him. And we are the intercessors. So be at peace in your heart. Do your best not to condemn yourself, because that's only going to backfire on you. Got it?
Yes.